You're good to go.
Hi, good morning.
Good
Right.
morning.
We'll
Go
go
ahead
ahead
and get
and get
started.
started. We
Call
will
the
call
order,
the
and then
and
we'll
then we're
go ahead and do
going to begin
the
with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge
Allegiance
allegiance
to
to
the
the flag
flag
of
of
the
the
United
United
States
States
of
of
America
America
and
and
to
to
the
the
Republic
Republic
for
for
which
which
it
it
stands,
stands,
one
one
nation
nation
under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all.
Okay, I will start with roll call. Director Armstrong, Director Kwiatkowski,
Here.
Director Swan, Director Turney.
Here.
We have a quorum present in the room.
We'll
We'll entertain
entertain
business.
we'll,
We'll order
according
the
to the
agenda.
agendas.
Move. That
That
was
was
the sorry.
right.
That's wrong.
One
Then
and then by
Dennis
Kwiatkowski.
okay.
Okay. All
I
right.
also want to
Public
thank
comment.
members of the
Members of the
public
public
for
are
appreciating
appreciated.
taking the time to attend this meeting and provide
Provide
comment on matters of district
district
use, as
this
public comments are subject to 3 minute time limit and limits on any
individual
individual topic.
topic. Although
Although no action can be taken on these items not listed on the
the agenda,
agenda,
please
nothing
note
is
you're
listed and
listening
designated to your
here.
comments. Okay, any public
Public
comment?
comments.
Okay. And
No,
online, you don't
don't
have
do
those.
those. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Information items. Let's go with the staff and board, and we'll go with the fire department first. Travis. All right. How you doing? Good morning, everyone. Yeah. We'll grab a fire captain. This is our staff report for July 2026. And as far as call volume, we
We
have
had two calls
calls for the
the
GCSD
GCSD engine.
and the Tuolumne County engine had 28
Two calls.
calls. And as far as call volume for the
And you're
counselor
gonna lose
chairs,
it.
right? That?
Sorry.
Sorry.
That's about it, Janice. Sorry.
That's okay.
It is in your packet, though.
Yes. And then as far as call volume for the calendar year, this is the busiest month that we've had. And for year to date, we're at 322 for calls in 2026. And as far as significant incidents, we had the fire that everybody knows about that we talked about at the last board meeting. The Priest fire on Old Priest Grade was started by a vehicle fire. And that ended up at 9.5 acres. And then the McKinley incident, which was on July 21st. And the fire was approximately 1/10 of an acre, so got that one stopped very quickly. And that one's still under investigations. And then we had the station incident, which was a motorcycle accident on Old Priest Grade, approximately 30 feet over the side. And had to set up a low angle probe rescue system to bring the patient up. Was transported by ground ambulance to an air ambulance and then down into Modesto for additional treatment. And then, as far as the vehicle status, engine 781 is out of service and sounds like will be for quite some time. You have multiple things wrong with it. Went in originally for the 90-day compliance, which is just a 90-day safety compliance that happens on a regular basis. And then also rear brakes, ended up beating tires, and also had multiple codes causing a check engine light to be on. And Matt was saying when he was taking things apart to access the areas he needed to get to, things were breaking as he was making access.
That's
Probably the additional items beyond the list that I have. So we're on engine 787, and in fact, engine 787 went out of service as well last week. And we ended up getting on engine 783 from the airport for one night. Matt was able to fix engine 787 that next morning when he came in, or at least get a quick round on it and get parts ordered. And so we got back on engine 787. So that's the first time that the primary engine and the reserve engine both go out of service, sort of leaving us a little empty-handed, but we made do. And then as far as station training, our battalion training for the month of July was focused on firing. So we talked about the use of drip torch and different firing techniques. And then we also did first hand structure drills and fire hose pulls, wildland hose lays, vehicle stabilization with the Paratex struts, airbags. And then as far as fire department news, we attended the 4th of July fireworks show at Pine Mountain Lake. So we were there. Met with the contractor, provided the fireworks show, and kind of just on a standby role. If anything started during the fireworks, then we could dispatch from there. And then the same reminders here at the end that burn permits are suspended, so no burning right now. And that's the end of my report, unless there's any questions. Any questions from the board?
Well, it's the hot little part that was down the grade, like, not floating.
Who owns it?
From the fire department.
Which vehicle?
A little bitty, I think it's a white car.
I know. You
He doesn't work at them.
I plead the fifth.
Calling through town, and he was way down, and he didn't stop the grade. And then he went down the first 15 mile, made the first 15 mile sign, and then we just seen it. My husband's not fucking when he goes down. This guy just disappeared.
The travel support, right?
All right. You're looking for a white vehicle.
You have need assistance slide in your report and defensible space number. Can you just that's a topic that people are interested in.
Yeah, so on the fire side, we have defensible space inspectors, and if someone wanted a defensible space inspection, and call that phone number and schedule for one of those defensible space inspections.
And
inspection on the property. It's one of the services that they offer.
Calling on somebody else.
As far as
I understand it,
yes. But when they come out, they're probably also going to inspect the houses in the area, other houses, and probably the person who called as well. So yeah,
do that thing with the out of compliance with the lots.
Yeah.
He hears that area.
Mm-hmm. So you have PM inside the gates, of course, PM out You got their fire inspector people in a little white truck. Okay. And then my neighbor across the street, the Airbnb, they had a young lady come out in a Cal Fire truck and she walked around his property and told him what he had to do there. But he called all these numbers and you guys came out. So there's two of them in the game.
So as far as I understand it, the HOA has their own defensible space as part of the homeowners association, so when you call out a Cal Fire defensible space inspector, they're only enforcing the state rules, and if you went through the HOA, their rules were more strict. So that might be why we saw both. Maybe,
yeah, the guy he called Cal Fire and time. You got to hang on.
Okay, put down. But okay, so there's the flies flying around, and whoever kills it, there $3 reward.
Yes, I'll up it to 10. I will up it to 10.
He sent it to me.
Also, I just wanted to. They did an awesome job on the grease fire. That was
amazing. Thank you. Every time you get dispatched to a fire on grease grade, you're always wondering if it's going to be that big one, you know?
Yeah.
And that one had all the potential to go ahead, but aircraft and everything getting on it.
Really? So that down. Kind of smoked out of that.
I was not fired, so I can't really speak to that. But the aircraft from Columbia were very quickly.
It was a weird experience with that fire I had, was it because they got a shop right downtown. I heard it going. I should have been freaking out. You guys provided such a calm to me, but for some reason it's, I wasn't really that concerned about it. You know, I knew it was right there. I knew it was coming up. I said, man, at least these guys work up here, they're going to knock the crap out of it. And he did. So, no, thank you. I think we're knocking the crap out of it, giving us a little such a calm.
Of course.
I've shared that opinion with a couple of people. I should be freaking out.
The terrain is quite a workout.
Yeah. Now you can, now that the brush is all burnt right there, and when you're coming up Old Priest Grade, you can see how steep it is. That's very good about two
miles. It was really hard to do the fixed wing aircraft.
You know, it's so tight that section was. I got some video and dumped in dark. It was pretty wild.
Yeah.
The helicopter, man, it's really dumb. Really good. Awesome. So, next, we're going to hear from Mr. Boss. Ask with certain. Tony, Bob Asquith, Program Manager for Group Search. July, oh, by the way, Dennis, on the ratting out your neighbor, I did it. It worked. The PML inspector was going around, and I invited him on my property because all they do is look from the street unless they're asked otherwise. And the house next to me, just the house is visible from the street, and then the property is a pie-shaped thing below that canyon. So I called him, or when I drove by, I said, come on down my property and take pictures. $10,000 later, it was all cleaned up. Yeah, I was didn't say anything. So we completed our PG&E training with CERT, a couple of photographs on your sheet, specifically talking about things that are important during any kind of a PG&E incident that we might be able to help with, the generator, solar shutoff, and how far you need to stay away from power lines that are down. And Director Swan will still be looking forward to training on the phones when OES gets back together.
two members of the CERT team went down to Modesto and received training on stop the bleed. And our intention is to bring that up here. Bleeding victim has got 5 minutes, maybe, and they can bleed out. And so the program is created by the American College of Surgeons, and it is about 90 minutes long. So we're going to collaborate with Adventist Health and bring that program up here for everybody. We're also going to partner with EML Safety for a campaign on evacuations. People only think about one way out of here when you have to be evacuated. And last time that was the case was that Highway Patrol had blocked off the bottom of Priest Grade. And so our campaign is going to be centered around two ways out of here, or by the way, you need to actually drive the other way. We have training this fall with a PHI set up a landing zone for the helicopter. The next training at the end of this month is with the Red Cross for setting up a shelter. The way it works is that the Red Cross is contracted by Following County to run shelters. And they run a few thousand of them every year. And they have a 2-hour response time. So they're generally grouped in Stockton. So 2 hours is a reasonable time. This is one of the facilities that's available for sheltering. Wallaby Trails probably is out of the mix for now. But one of the things that CERT can do is show up early because we live here and set up the shelter. And there's
probably take
5 people. An hour to set up a shelter. And so the Red Cross, our Red Cross hat on over at the shelter during Dovefire. And it was pretty interesting.
Quickly,
I got there. There were 3 people there, and about an hour later, there were 48 people there. Some of them went out with family and friends, and then Camp Justin sat down. There were another 48 people that showed up on a bus. So it's a lively thing to do. And one of the things we want to do with our Red Cross shelter training is find more people in CERT to cross train. So I have to just take off one shirt without a vest. And it's just like Superman. We need a phone booth. Anyway, that's it. Any questions?
I got a question for you. Seeing you guys doing some crop control training out here with CHP, like you.
That's us. Okay. So that's one of the things that CERT does. In fact, the two things we most have to do here with the firefighter rehab, which we get trained on the pilot, probably have a drill before the end of the year. The other is traffic. Not traffic control. CHP does traffic control.
Well, I've worked for Calentown 33.5 years.
I'm here.
PC
coordinator. Control
coordinator.
Good.
We'll switch to work.
That's all right.
I'm control now. My chair, please. I slow them down.
They did drive pretty fast going through town, so I slow them down.
That's good.
So that chair is street legal?
Legal.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Any questions or comments before? No more
from
audience. We'll go on to operations
managers report. We
jump right in though. The water starts. We did have 5 gates. We have one more service complete, but 3 remaining targets to a service. The significant one was the one in, on Highway 120 the next to the bank. And it pretty much blew out around 4:30 in the morning. And it was all day to get that thing done. And right after that, we had to patch it because Caltrans was not happy with the size of the repair that was there. So we had Jerry coming in. That was,
yep.
So that
taken care of. Another notable thing on the water side of stuff, we have lead and copper testing going up. It's actually going up to, we have 20 sample sites we have to do. 20 residents actually helped us out with that. Drop the sample bottles off them. They take the sample first thing in the morning, the very first water use of the day. We go back and pick the sample bottoms up, and that's our requirement every few years. So it's pretty big deal for us. Never have an issue with the lead copper side of stuff, but the females are in the community.
Before we answer back on the water break, is that, I mean, are the main, is that just a main failure?
Yeah, it was right next to a coupling, and it blew a hole inside of it. So, if I put a pressure fluctuation or just leaking a pipe, stuff downtown is pretty weak. That section is not as bad as some of the side streets, but it's still just an AC pipe that can. A lot of the couplings too, they try to get a little bit of deflection out of them too. So a little strain on that pipe is a little bit. So I think that could be part of the reason. And even every time that we've been the street on the highway, we have older pipes instead of the air pick. The other notable thing on the water side, we're down to our Dick Creek water treatment plants. Second growing water treatment plant has been out of service. Started with the VFD, we got a riddle. So we got it back up and running. As soon as we got it back up and running, we lost our on-site chlorine generator, which makes our chlorine for our disinfectant. So we tried to get it repaired. It's an older unit that's pretty much outdated, no parts available for it. So we started dosing our tanks by bringing in 55-gallon barrels, but we can't live like that. But that's how we're operating as of right now. We had to order a brand new OSP unit, and it's 16 weeks out. So we dose the tank with 55-gallon drums, and that plant, we could make it probably in 2 days on one barrel. So pretty expensive. Running on one plant,
it's a little. Alarming to me. Well, because if we have something there, then we can have it more.
You got to keep them going. And that's
what I'm talking about.
It's one of the beautiful things that I like to put out there. Stuff that we do, you know. We did get some good news, though. They did push out, as she was saying, there was going to be a tunnel shut down in 28. They pushed out on 23. So, as of right now. Could it change? Yes, but we did get an email stating that there will not be an outage until 23rd. So that's pretty exciting stretch. That is a pretty good stretch. A lot of the work has been completed up here. A lot of the work now is going to be in the Valley area. So that's pretty exciting. Because when we moved the plant, AWS, our alternative water system, we moved it. They came out and inspected a bunch of stuff, and there's a bunch of other things that they're going to ask for us to be there. So gives us some time to get that up there. 100% for what they would like to ask from that. So, but good news. This holiday season coming up, the guys might be on stand that they won't be. I don't know if they'll be back. Awesome. Yeah. Wastewater side of stuff, everything was pretty normal on the routine inspections and cleaning and stuff of that nature. We did have a duct leak problem on our reservoir, our reclaim reservoir number two. Treatment side of stuff, and the duckweed is a little tiny green plant that will cover the surface during warm air and warm temperatures, and it takes away our dissolved oxygen in the pond, which we have a requirement to stay above one. So we had to fight with that for a little while. Installed an aerator, additional aerator, and got back up and running. But this is like the first year I've seen that. It's something that once it happens, it'll grow so fast. At this case, so we tried shutting it out manually, got a device that had bought a boat to help push the stuff to the corner, try to get it out, but it repopulated so fast that it was kind of, we were spinning on it. But secondary got in there and it actually, our pond's pretty low right now. We're almost here. So I'm trying to get it as low as we can. So yeah, a couple more weeks, you know, to send it on the lake. And it's all our large irrigation. So, September, we're not allowed to send them anymore. So, they're not the one.
That's on the I'm on Lake Ogo. Yeah, we can't.
We can't get it up in the lake.
No, it's just I think it's for the winter, for where our rainy seasons, and they don't want any runoff or anything like that, so they have a stop for the state requirement. So we can't. We can't irrigate during the rainy season, and so they can't on one. So I think that's the thing.
So it's a balancing act to keep the get the reservoir as low as we can, so that we have storage capacity during the wet season, and the permit is what guides the level that it has to be, and the timing that we can use the water and in what location. So it's a real balancing. It's much more than Louis. He makes it sound pretty simple, but when you're out trying to get control of duckweed using everything you possibly can, from blowing it to sucking it to floating on the reservoir and trying to corral it into a certain location, was a lot of work.
Yeah,
it was definitely a lot of work on the guys that are out there. They get our DO to come back up, and every day we've got to sample that pond, that reservoir with our DO.
And so it was a task. We already had two aerators in there, so we installed another one. So it worked. We're back up to six.
This is right.
Like I said, we're pretty low. And during the winter, like, our other civilization, we have to have two tier creatures. So we have to be, if we need to be, 5 times or something. Thanks. We didn't go to Pine Valley, we didn't go to Pine Valley.
There was a leak in the radiator side of stuff, and it's
bringing in there. I call it those were breaking for being old, stuff like that. So we can be able to replace those. But what he thought was the leak was fixed, pressure tested it, and then at the end of the reading, well, radiated on order, and that's what we're reporting to that truck. It's tired. Yeah, we're not even 1/4 into the new fiscal year. That's the big repair box. So hopefully that will be our big repair box.
Please. Any comments from the board or any questions? Questions for the audience? Well, thank you, Louie. Appreciate it. Okay. Administrative Services Manager.
Right. So, admin, we've been very busy this time of year, the end of the fiscal year, the beginning of a new fiscal year, there's always a lot of work to get done. So specifically in finance, Michelle has been focused heavily on year-end activities, financial reporting, and audit preparation. She completed the Gravity financial reporting system setup, which was a huge thing, and will continue working through training and implementation as we develop our first financial statements and MD&A in-house. That's a really significant achievement, accomplishment. It has been a very, 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 very long time that the district has been able to perform its own financial statements. As you guys know, we use Gilbert and Associates for a very long time. She's also working through month-end, quarter-end, and year-end reconciliations and reporting, along with preparations for the annual audit. Other completed financial and regulatory reporting this period includes SDRMA workers' compensation reconciliation report, CERC annual report, CalPERS annual out-of-class reporting, and then the board's accounts payable reports. The district's financial transparency reporting and website financial data was updated to ensure current information remains available and readily available to the public. And finally, Michelle continues to work internally with staff to finalize the capital improvement project information needed to complete the current fiscal year 26-27 budget. Moving on to utility billing, also had a very busy start with the new fiscal year. Megan had successfully implemented the new fiscal year 26-27 water and sewer rates with notification provided to all customers as part of the their August billing statements. And all the other applicable fees and charges were also updated with the new fiscal year, like the miscellaneous fee schedule. The annual tax roll process has been completed and submitted to the county with 28 delinquent parcels totaling $26,835.48 placed on the property tax rolls. Annual backflow testing is currently at 72% compliance rate with customer submissions due by August 15th. Megan's also currently working with Metro Presort. They're the company that produces our billing statements. We've been really unhappy with the look of the billing statements for quite some time, and we've been really limited on the availability to kind of modify the way those look. It's a lot more difficult than you would think to modify billing statements, but it seems that they have some updates that allow us to make some modifications, so it's just trying to make it more easily understandable from the ratepayer, the public. Testing of the new laserfish leak adjustment application is also nearing completion. Once it's implemented, this will further streamline the internal process for customer leak adjustment requests. We get, I would say, probably on average about 4 leak adjustments a month. Right now, we just use an internal form. So this is part of our laserfish workflow process that will allow these forms to be posted online, the customers to submit it, and then it will do a workflow through the administrative processes. And finally, on-site implementation for the training for Express Bill Pay, which is the new district's customers payment platform that the board approved in, I believe it was June, to move forward. We've scheduled that to take place in January, so next calendar year. That's scheduled for that transition. And we have a lot of work and public outreach to do with that to transition current customers on the current payment platform over to the new payment platform. And we have to set them all back up on auto pay and stuff. So there's going to be quite a bit of work involved with that transition. Moving on to public outreach, we began hosting biweekly social media meetings. So now with the transition from Ronnie to moving it in-house with Andrea, biweekly now we meet as a team internally with different department heads and management to go over certain informational posts, what needs to get out there, the scheduling of them. And so far it's been very successful. In the last month, there have been 3 reels and 2 posts on the district's social media that focused specifically on behind the scenes moments for maintenance, operations, and the collections and distribution team. And part of it, we can see the likes and the views, and some of them have really gained a lot of traction and ground. So it seems effective and to be reaching a wide group of people. To date, live laserfish forms are, the update contact information, automatic bill pay form, request to unlock meter for real estate inspection, new property owner, consent and responsibility for rental property, service application and guarantee for rental property, notification of tenant's account standing, board attendance, time cards, which we'll go over, dog park, banner use, and park use application. So it's quite a bit of laserfish live workflow forms now. Andrea is doing a fantastic job rolling this out. She also began working on a new customer welcome packet that discusses specifically special districts, funding, billing, parks, summer, winter, home tips, just something when we get new customers in. A lot of people are not familiar with special districts, they're used to, most of them come from an urban area that has a utility and then a city. They're all separate services. And one of the challenges we have is trying to explain why GCSD provides water, why they provide sewer, why they provide fire protection and parks. So capturing them when they come in, prior to it being like a reactive thing when they're asking questions about stuff. So she's working on that. And lastly, for the outreach is, I don't know if anybody's looked at our website, but there is a new type of, a look or a transition. It's a lot more aesthetically pleasing. And so Andrea has been working on migrating that over, like some of our pages, over to that new feel and look. So if you haven't looked at our website, I would suggest that you do. It's really nice. It's more, I don't know, compartmentalized. Like the flow works better. And Streamline's always had a really good platform, but this has even improved it further. So far it's been the homepage, the about for the district, the board of directors page, services, customer service, and several more, but those are the big ones. Because it takes a while to transition those pages over. And then lastly, as far as other big things, we have the community advisory committee that has kickstarted. We have a couple of our members with us today. we had a meeting at the end, our first meeting at the end of July. It was July 28th, and it went, you know, really well. We have Jeff here, who's actually going to be providing the board with an update, so I don't want to step on his toes. But specifically yesterday, the committee went over a lot of the history and the structural organization of the fire services. There was a lot of work to put together, a lot of handouts and informational stuff that was done for the committee. So a lot of my time for the last month or 2 to 3 weeks or so has been really focused on the CAC committee and the material to bring them all up to speed on at least where we are with history and structural processes. Next meeting, we're going to be discussing financial stuff. So yeah, and anyway, so that concludes my report. If you have any questions?
I'd like to add too, there was a nice lady that she stepped down. This is Kay Crow, so you know, and then she stepped down and said it wasn't a fit for her. And she was going to go in a different direction. And I thought that was cool. I mean, so now there's somebody else that take their seat.
My page.
Just
any other comments?
Meetings.
All right. We'll move on to general manager.
Okay. We have. As part of the Citizens Advisory Committee, we've got the specific web page developed for that. All of the meeting materials are there, and all of the committee members. Jeff submitting the first photograph. I think you can pick him out in the audience. But it's been, you know, it's been solid. The second meeting was attended better than the first, which was really good. It's also because it is a committee that is formed by the board of directors for official recommendations from the community. It's a Brown Act committee. So we will be, everything will feel like a board meeting in terms of it being posted and published in advance and materials made available and taking public comment. I think it's going to take a little while to catch on. We did have a couple of members of the public that attended. Jeff can talk about that. But just wanted to let you know the website is up. And the materials that were presented yesterday, Jen had put together, just absolutely fantastic. Easy to read graphics of timelines of the fire department, how the services are provided, really giving a good baseline of where we are today, and easily understandable. So if you get a chance and grab a cup of coffee and run through some of that. In my written report, I'll just summarize, you probably or may not have heard of an opportunity zone, but it's a new federal designation. These types of designations have been around for quite a while at other districts that I've managed. We've been involved with them. The district's role is primarily representing the community at these types of forums. And it is, it's a designation that gives tax breaks to investors that invest in business growth and housing and other activities in the community. If you are able to achieve that designation, they have an open call for So they do it by census tract, by income levels. There's one census tract within the GCSD boundaries that qualifies. It was submitted as a priority. This is the Tuolumne County Transportation Council that's heading that up, with Tamara Blankenship as the CEO. And and then there were several other within the county, really weird. So submitted work, we worked together to submit an application to the state proposing those census tracts, including Groveland. And the state came back with a census tract proposal that wasn't even the ones that were submitted by TCTC in the application. I don't have any idea how they selected it.
I was curious about this, so I tried to, after a while, I was able to find it, but they went out of two. Just pretty much nothing. I mean, it's a giant tract, if I'm reading the map correctly. It's everything from basically 108 over to the county line north,
mm-hmm.
and over to the county line.
The one that the state selected.
And outside of Sonora, the entire Sonora region has other census tracts.
Right.
It's basically the giant amount of, you know, probably 40% or 30% of the county area, and there's nothing there.
I know.
I mean, how is that?
Oh, is that an opportunity?
I don't know. I just am not.
I do not. I believe me. It was something that we had one discussion about it, and there's obviously some political pressure. We can't figure it out.
We're not going to have to get
very many breaks to the
area.
Yeah, it's not. But that's our state. I can't tell you what happened, but that.
Right about the track. I just want to make sure I wasn't.
You're correct. You're absolutely right. It's everything but what was submitted as a priority. Out of the census tracts that were submitted, the highest priority by the collaborative group was the downtown Sonora area. The consensus was that they focus on one area for now that has the highest probability of getting in there, because the other area really didn't do any good that the state had proposed. So that's where that is now. They're submitting comments to the state's proposal. And Groveland is not part of it, but we'll continue to monitor it and remain engaged. And again, that's the district. The district has the authority under the government code to participate in these types of municipal planning, economic development planning exercises, and that falls on district management to do that. It doesn't cost the district anything other than my time to participate in those. With CSDA, we had the board elections, and I'm excited to say that got reelected to the CSDA board. It was a good contested race. There were a few candidates, but that puts me at 25 years and another 2 years on the CSDA board. And so I mean, it's seen significant growth, tripling the members in the years that I've sat on the board, not myself personally, by any means, but the effort of the CSDA board, maturity of the organization has just gone through the roof. Got excellent, excellent board, so I'm honored to be part of that going forward. Legislative committee, really busy, really weird year. I can only imagine, but it seems like the legislature is really getting good at writing bills using AI. Which makes it even more confusing. There are thousands of bills that are introduced in the state every year. Hundreds of those have an impact on municipal services, special districts, cities, counties. And many of those are, you know, don't have a real public benefit. They may have a very focused benefit on one group of people and cost us a bunch of money for compliance. It's not like a water quality regulation where, you know, it makes sense to comply with that to make sure it's safe drinking water. But when it comes to, you know, making housing as it, you know, reducing the cost of housing, and the legislature attacks development impact fees and different things that are just a very small piece of the housing cost, the housing development costs. That's been a huge amount of effort, because what happens is it closes the door if these legislative proposals go forward, and they make the administrative requirements of responding to projects much more faster. It requires that we establish conditions of development early and then hold those forever, which is really hard in our environment. But we've participated. I've been part of that committee for a while. I know Bob's been on it as well. And they're doing a great job of taking this stuff on. And again, that's I did include a couple of items in the packet just for review, no action required, just giving some draft policy principles for housing. And, you know, of course, that we want to make sure that that's supported. We support affordable housing. We just want to make sure we're part of the process, and that it's not a negative impact on existing customers. I just have to bring up one topic, because it just came up 2 days ago. The state has taken a bill and gutted it, and the governor is pushing really hard, and it's called the Wildfire Liability Reform. So they took a bill and inserted a bunch of language that is going to limit the liability of utilities, electric utilities such as PG&E, in the event that there is a utility caused wildfire and damage, and this is probably of interest to SDRMA as well. Limit that payment. For example, if the community burned down and all of the infrastructure went down, PG&E or whoever caused that, they were found liable for it. Instead of paying the cost to rebuild it, they would only be liable for the depreciated asset costs. So if you look down Michelle's way, and you know, our depreciated assets from 1940, even though, you know, we've made improvements and everything else, that's not the amount that they would pay. They would just pay the depreciated cost of that asset if that's successful. So who knows with the state? So there's a coalition that's formed to oppose it. I feel comfortable with our current policy giving them the authority to participate in that. It's really a bad thing. It benefits only the utilities, the electric utilities. So yeah, it is. It's kind of crazy. Not yet, but pretty close. Participated in the Natural Resources Committee, and part of that is on your agenda today. The Tolman County Infrastructure Partnership, I'll end with that. Tolman County Infrastructure Partnership Initiative is in my report. That was rolled out to the Tolman County chapter of CSDA, and there's support within the chapter to move this forward. And I included that in the packet. And basically, it's an initiative to collaborate with the county to get more involved with their planning process, their land use planning, and be at the table. First off, plan globally with the county, looking at all of the land to be developed in the future, and collaborating with the special districts to make sure that services are considered and impacts are considered and where infrastructure is. Then secondly, working into the county ordinances, hopefully, a process where the county reaches out to districts first when somebody comes in with a development proposal, sit down and talk about it so that the developer doesn't have to go through the county process, then come to the district later and have a whole different set of things that they get really upset about because they've never heard about them, because the county's never introduced them to it. And in many cases, they've got to do environmental review over again. They've got more construction costs, permitting costs. And so anyway, this is something that hopefully we'll be able to move forward. We've got changes in county leadership in both the Board of Supervisors and the Community Development Department. You don't know Tamara Blankenship, that is the Executive Director for the Transportation Council, is now the Community Development Director as well. And she's been extremely cooperative and great to work with. And so we hope to continue that and get this initiative moving forward. There you go. A lot of things going on.
Any
The
questions on
comments?
Okay. Any
Any comments or questions from?
Okay, I got one. I know there's a board seat coming up. Is there four?
Three.
Three on it? Oh, okay. I know that they got some more elections coming up or whatever, right? Fill a seat or something?
Well, it's basically a 4-year term, and it's coming up. So we are going to be doing an election. It's not.
When is that date this year, 4 years or so?
The election date is November 3rd.
Same as is this statewide election.
Yeah.
And then the term would be for starting in that December and running for
Okay. So my seat is up for election. Bob Swan's seat's up for election.
I know a few people that are shooting for your seats, by the way.
Yeah.
No, anyway, I was just curious
if I didn't.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Thanks.
It's a just to be clear.
There's five seats on the board.
And so all the terms are 4 years, what they're saying. So this is the year where three seats are up. In 2 years, the other two seats will be up. 2 years after that, these three seats will be up. Okay. All right. Oh, no, I just wanted to tell Janice that I'm going to be looking
for that speed racer on my car, too.
For real.
That PG&E bill just infuriating. My family's had two PG&E cost fires on properties, one of which burned several homes. And what can you do? Is there a particular group that is opposing that, or a legislator that is taking the lead on opposing that?
Yes, there's a broad coalition of the cities and the counties and the rural counties, and that's I'm part of the California Special District Association board, and they've joined in on this coalition, and they're working really hard to try to get this to not go through.
Is there a bill number?
Bill?
I can get that for you. I will forward you the message.
Okay, good.
So the recent rate hike that was supposed to pay for the underground, all right? And then I heard that our governor signed where the communities that are having undergrounding done can be built for that as well. Is that right, or am I wrong?
I'm not sure. I can't really speak to that, but
yeah.
I mean, just, you know, PG&E in some respects does operate a little bit like us. They have the they have, if they're going to spend money, they're going to recover that in some way in rates. I'm not justifying their rates or the rate process, okay. But anytime they spend money, it's not going to come out of the investor's pocket on them. We don't have investors, they do. It's going to come out of the ratepayers' pocket. How they do it, it goes through the Public Utilities Commission. But in many cases, they do get political pressure. The commission does get pressure to allow things to happen that really cost the ratepayers a lot of money. I don't know whether that's right or wrong, but It's definitely something to keep an eye out for.
It's irritates. We don't use much electricity at our house and our buildings. Which is probably a small bill
Oh, Bill.
for most people
People
here.
here.
Room, so I'll throw an eye on
Nine.
the that's small bill. We don't run an air conditioner. I just floors me. So don't absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Pete. Appreciate that. Now we're
Now we're
going
going
to
to
go
go to the
to Citizens
Citizens
Advisory
Advisory
Committee
Committee.
Report, and that's with Jeff Paulson. Okay, Paulson. Yeah, thank you. I just want to say a couple of things at the outset. First, I really appreciate the water, the clear water. I've managed a family ranch's water system from spring to tank to house in 40 years, and it's not fun. Great, some issues. It's never been tested, but I'm still here. And also, I just want to say I really appreciate the staff. You've done an amazing job, especially recently, because the time of the first meeting, the time of the second meeting was abbreviated, and especially Jennifer, you've just done an amazing job with the handouts, clarifying things, because it's complicated, and a lot of people don't understand it, and so we're beginning to have a learning curve for the committee to learn about really what the situation is. And lastly, Terry Wimmer was late meeting yesterday because she was doing a fundraiser. And I just got a call from her, and I've won the little raffle thing. So, anyway,
Anyway,
so
so
in terms of the committee, I was kind of afraid that there were going to be a bunch of people who just didn't like taxes, didn't like the district, didn't like what we were doing, and they're just there to be oppositional. That was so far from the truth. I think they were really participative and supportive. Everyone wants to keep the fire station, fire engine. And so I was happy with the way the meeting went. There are a lot of folks with a lot of history. One woman was raised in it was
Was that
where the
the
astronauts
restaurant is
said,
that?
okay, she's very book matters, and actually works for the Geological Survey doing maps. So I think we did some good maps from her. Steph, do you have any thoughts about how the meeting went?
I'm it's a lot of mental, emotional, and effort, management effort to to we've gotten a lot of this information already, but the art is presenting it in a manner that people can understand. And when you live in that environment all the time, you tend to speak at a level that many people can't bring down and really understand. Especially, we've got this committee that really they want to get to the end. They want to get to the solutions and start with the solutions, which I totally get. We're working or we sometimes you've got to understand the history and the background before you can really come up with the solutions. And this meeting yesterday, I think it really there was a lot learned, there was a lot understood, and we put together a work plan that was understood, and everybody knows when things are going to come in, and by October we'll be talking about what the next steps may look like. We've still got a lot of work to do, but it's been very cooperative, I think. Very good, good group of people that have a lot of good community ties and are bringing back good information. So I think it's positive, but it was hard after the first one and having a resignation and being concerned that we were going to have some people drop off. But reached out to some of them and encouraged them to stick with it, and they have, and they will.
I got something to add on too that like Jeff suggested, hey, we can go have a tour of the fire station, or maybe Cal Fire come in here and talk to them. And I recommend it. Let's bring in Steve Briefer. He's my county representative. He can come in here and tell us what his plan is, So it's things like that that are going good, and these ladies are amazing with their cutouts and and the board and everything on the TVs and everything. And everything is going pretty well, I think. But and some of these people need to idle back too. They want to hurry up. I'm going to solve the whole thing tonight. No. Hey, you got to idle back a little bit. Let's get some discussion going here and talk about it. I mean, I know you're busy and all that, and I got free time. I'm retired now. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, they're all like, just going like, oh, let's hurry up, get to the end. No. Hey, idle back. Let's all talk about this. We all got our own opinions and this and that and everything, and we're all learning and stuff. But it's going good. Going good.
Yeah, I feel like yesterday's meeting went really well, especially with the size of the group that we have and how diverse it is. And everybody seems to be working really well together. Even if they disagree, maybe a motion will be made and then it will be seconded. And then the group talks about it collectively, and then the motion will get withdrawn and then revised, and they're working really well together. And as far as yesterday, I feel like there was a lot of really good questions asked by some of the committee members. And even one individual at the end of the meeting said that he left knowing a lot more information about the fire department than he came in just that one single meeting. So I feel like it's going really well.
Very good point. And Jeff got schooled on some history up here yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I asked folks, how many of you were here before Pine Mountain Lake? And a number of hands went up, and then the stories came out.
Yeah.
And it's fun to hear that, really.
Really.
That's right. Yeah. That's history, buddy. That's history.
Yeah. And so anyway, I think it's very helpful. We did have a discussion about mitigation, and that's a big issue in the fire service. But then someone raised their hand and said, well, what does that have to do with keeping the fire going? And it really doesn't have much to do with it. But there's broad interest in the committee in terms of helping keep the community safe. But I think that's a good thing. And again, kudos to the staff for all your work. Did a great job. Awesome. That's it. Anything else? I'm optimistic, and I think that the
assessment voted down, but I'm optimistic that we'll find a solution.
It's just whose pocket we're going to pick,
Well, one of the things that I've noticed over the past several months is, just by looking at social media and stuff, and the amount of unfounded information being spread out there about the board, about the office, stuff like that. I'm appreciating that you guys are doing this, because I'm hoping you'll actually be able to spread more of the actual facts rather than the handful of people out there that are spreading rumors and stuff that are unfounded. And then when I saw Rick was going to be on board of this, I said, oh, this is going to be a pretty lively group.
He brings the humor, the entertainment.
No, I appreciate you guys are doing it. I think it's a good direction.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be a long process. I thought first it was going to be a couple of meetings, and I'm looking at it's going to be stretching out for half a year. But that's okay, because it takes time to really develop a good solution.
Well, and then just the problem here, I went to all three meetings here, you know what I mean? Coming up to it now. That's all I got. How many people live up here, you know what I mean? And I know the Airbnb, blah, blah, blah. 100 people or 3,000, 4,000 piece of properties in this whole area or whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's 100 people. It's like the union meetings we used to go to. The only way you get people there is free pizza and beer and stuff. You know what I mean? And nobody cared. Oh, I'm too busy. This not. No, you better be involved, because this is serious stuff. Not everybody can afford, $300, $400, $400 a month. And then, to go up again, like my fishing license, and it'll be 505 or whatever. Anyway, but people got to get involved, you know what I mean? And that's the only way it's going to get done.
Absolutely.
Because if not, it's just going to fail again or whatever, you know what I mean? Or, hey, boom, here, this is the way it's going to work. So but I think it's a good thing. And Jeff, he's a good chairman. And the other guy, the co-chair, he's a quiet guy. So you got to watch out for the quiet guy. You didn't say nothing.
He's listening.
He's an analyzer, and I like the guy. He's a good guy, but he don't say nothing. He just analyzes the stuff. He's a good chair here.
Well, the beer was pretty good yesterday too, wasn't it?
Just a little keg left.
Yeah.
It, you know, and
we get beer.
Just, you know, to give kudos to the board. This is all of this is possible at the direction of the board. You know, without board support for citizen input in that way, and without the board support for the management's involvement in these things and everything else, these things don't happen. If you have just a bunch of turmoil on this side of the table, that's all you're dealing with is turmoil. And this is experience on the board, and so it's all encompassing in the board management.
Peter, I thought at first you were going to have a little mutiny where people wanted to have a meeting independent of
yes.
that, and that was a concern because you have the knowledge, you have the wisdom, you have experience, and that's really helpful to support the committee.
Yeah, it's really important
for everybody in on that committee to understand what we say.
You know, this is why how we came up with an idea of having this assessment and stuff like that. It's just, I mean, we're looking at, you know, you got to look at the CalPAR contract. You got to look at everything to understand where it's all coming from.
Yeah.
And it's just price of doing business with the fire department. It's, you know, ad valorem taxes don't pay for a fire department. And I think that's true with every fire department I've ever worked for. You know, in fact, the first fire department I worked for is no longer there. You know, they had to shut it down.
I worked for the Palo Alto Fire Department. Palo Alto's got a lot of money from the Hitachi power and water that they sell. And the assistant chief said, well, the city council cut out my fire engine for the budget. I said, but that's okay because I put it in place.
There you go. That's true. So that's important.
And we really
appreciate you all. So,
yeah,
thank you.
Okay.
Other comments or questions from the board?
Cool. Once a month. So we meet Tuesday afternoons, and then I come in, I'll battle scar and bruise and give my report.
It's the second Tuesday of the month, so it's the day right before our board meeting.
Oh, it's fresh.
Is it always?
Yeah.
I'll show up to the probably good.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a couple members from the public yesterday have to get clarifying because they were in the group comment. So they're really nice people.
They're very helpful and knowledgeable.
Yeah, the guy was very knowledgeable in enforcement.
And I'll put a bag over my head with eyeballs on
the bag is done.
And the next meeting will deal with finances. So that's gonna be a really interesting discussion. We'll get some great input from the committee on what they'd like to see. There'll be a lot of information shared next month's meeting.
And what time is that
meeting?
Okay. 1 o'clock, 1 to 3, second Tuesday of the month. And, you know, speaking of finance, I think that's going to be a topic that's going to kind of weave its way through every discussion because that's the bottom line. You
know? I'm John, too, and I was going to tell you that Jeff eats me supplying lunch, too.
Just a beer. Just
1 o'clock. Yeah, you don't need for you.
Nice. All right, I'll have my steak
meter. Steak meter, bro.
Okay, so right, moving on to proclamations. Recognition of Michelle Bonnie for 3 years of service, Groveland Community Services District.
So I know she wants me to skip this one, but we're not. I actually wrote when I was the other evening, I was, you know, reflecting on all of the stuff that we have accomplished financially over the last several years that Michelle's come on board with us. And it is really quite like phenomenal. I mean, when you really reflect on it in 3 years, it's just insane. So I wanted to write things down to hopefully put it into perspective of just how different the district's financial reporting and processes are today than they were 3 years ago. In just 3 years with the district, Michelle has completely transformed the district's budgeting, financial reporting, and financial transparency processes, including leading the implementation and continued expansion of ClearGov, a comprehensive budgeting and financial reporting platform. She modernized the district's budgeting process. She led the implementation of ClearGov's budgeting platform from the ground up, including building the district's entire budget structure within the new system. Transitioned the district from its previous budgeting processes to a more centralized, efficient, and transparent system for developing, managing, and monitoring the annual budget. She improved the district's ability to track budget to actual performance through the fiscal year and provide timely financial information to management and the board. She expanded the public financial transparency. So we have just the budgeting part, and now we have the public portal. So she implemented ClearGov's public transparency portal, significantly increasing public access to district financial information. Residents can now access current financial information directly through the district's website at any time, including budget and actual expenditures for individual line items across every district fund, current year-to-date financial activity, district check register information, including vendors, dates, and payment amounts. This has transformed financial transparency from periodic static reports to ongoing, steadily accessible public information. Now, the next component, the third component of this implementation, is she's brought the annual financial statement preparation in-house. So most recently, Michelle has implemented ClearGov's, but now Gravity's financial statement reporting capabilities and developing the district's annual financial statements internally. For more than a decade, the district relied on Gilbert Associates to prepare its annual financial statements and perform several other limited financial functions at a cost of more than $45,000 annually to the district. The district historically did not have the internal expertise or resources necessary to produce these statements independently. For the first time in many years, the district's annual financial statements will now be prepared in-house, representing a significant expansion of internal financial expertise and organizational capacity. This transition reduces the district's reliance on outside consultants while strengthening institutional knowledge, internal financial controls, and long-term organizational stability. In the 3 years, Michelle has taken the district from largely traditional and consultant-dependent financial processes to a modern, integrated financial management and reporting environment, improving budgeting, strengthening financial oversight, dramatically expanding public transparency, and developing the internal expertise necessary to perform complex financial reporting that the district previously outsourced. So I really hope that that puts into perspective the significant amount of work and the significant asset that Michelle is to this
to this
district.
district.
This
This is
like the amount of work that she has done is absolutely incredible. And it's not something that is, it's not something that's readily out there in any agency or organization. And so she's made my life significantly easier. She's made Pete's life significantly easier. She's made the financial forecasting and for us to get out from, into those weeds to be able to look at it from high level management and financial planning. And I'm just very happy to have her and very proud of everything that she's accomplished. And I could never imagine a district that didn't have Michelle, at least as long as I'm there. So congratulations on 3 years.
She doesn't miss that commute going down the grade.
No.
closer to home.
Very close.
I do have to say that since you've been here, I'm actually not as much afraid of the finances. It's kind of hard. It's like, I'm going to do this. But now, I mean, it's awesome. You're doing an awesome job. We really appreciate you.
As general manager with having responsibility for the day-to-day affairs of the whole district, I couldn't imagine making it through the last 3 years without Michelle. It was clear every day from how our every week how our investments are doing and if we need to make any moves. And this is in addition to what Jenna's talking about. That's a special above and beyond, but handles all of the day-to-day, AP, the accounts receivable, everything, payroll. Payroll, making sure everybody gets paid. And that's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of work, and it's very, very precise. You got to be on all the time, and she's on. It came to signing a check for an amount that exceeds the annual budget of that service, like for a water project or a sewer project or both at the same time. That's a scary thing. And she would continuously do the financial forecasting out 6 months, and we could sit down and you knew that everything that we were going to be paying and everything we were going to be receiving was in order and allowed for excellent decision making. Saved us a lot of headache and money to make sure that we had the money in the bank to be able to do that, and then when we received reimbursement, that we were once again whole, and we've been on every projection, and she's done an absolutely phenomenal job. Could not make it without her. So from the board establishing that position and having doing the salary and benefit analysis to be able to allow us to be able to attract for that position, and it was an easy transition for Michelle. Our first county acquisition, I think, which was, I'll tell you, that is a legacy benefit for the district. Really appreciate it. Good job.
Thanks.
You're a
hero. Just going to say one of the things I think that a lot of, we get a lot of grants, and thank you very much for going on finding those. It is required, I think. I don't know how you manage to convey to the public how much work there is in this
train.
Get a grant and then you hire somebody to do the work. Well, that's easy. And then there's all the paperwork associated with maintaining that and making sure that you can cover all the expenses as that you're allowing to. Just the sheer mechanics of doing it are amazing. Amazingly awful.
Yeah.
And so having that entire chain of responsibility in-house, it's really critical. We've been trying to do this, with having Gilbert still just be doing all of that. I doubt that we would have been able to administer some of the millions of dollars that we have managed to get from the state. Mostly the state, but the feds as well. This has worked out really well. Thank you.
Yeah. People think that when you get $8.5 million grant for a project, that the state writes you a check.
Yeah.
And the minute that you get that grant agreement and it goes in the bank and all you got to do is spend it. Absolutely the opposite. The state gives you a commitment for reimbursement. And so every expenditure has to happen first, and we've got to make sure that the all the way down to the contractor's payroll being right, and that they're paying the right wage, and their invoices are correct, and then that comes in, and 60 days later we get a reimbursement of $2.5 million or something, and just having that that cash flow vision is super important to Bob. That's a really good point.
I wish we had a way of getting at it, making that more visible. It's a lot of work.
The reporting goes on for years after the grant, after everyone celebrated, we got this grant. 2 years later, there's still people in the background.
Oh, we still haven't got some of the money yet, probably.
Yes. It's based on the grants we've got.
Yes. But I do have a question about grants. I've administered a lot of grants
for the county
down in the area. All of them were one-time grants. So this is seed money, and then you have to go out and find the ongoing funding. Do we have any grants that are sort of ongoing, or is it all kind of one shot grant?
One shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they come around again.
Right.
You know, but it's another whole qualification process.
Yeah. Yeah. Enabled, right? That's huge.
And one thing that we do differently is when we administer our own program internally. Many agencies, for example, the county will hire temporary staff that manage the entire program and get all the invoices together and the payroll and all that stuff. And then those people will, you know, either come and go, or sometimes they land on payroll forever. We were able to, with the level of communication, having it internally and having the, you know, the coordination meetings we have, we're able to do it internally. Construction is always an issue, but that's not Michelle Steele. So glad she's not involved in that end of it. But everybody's paid on time. I have full faith in everything she does.
Awesome.
Well, thank you all. I appreciate it. I like working here with all of you. I feel privileged. I do like my job. I like what I do. I wake up and I like coming to work.
That's good.
Sounds
awesome. I think you should give her the rest of the day off.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Probably does things that you're
Oh, he's going to Japan soon, so.
How do you? Thank you. Really appreciate
you.
Okay, consent calendar.
Move to approve the consent calendar.
That was moved by Director Swan, seconded by Director Askey. All favor.
Public comment.
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's so exciting.
anybody in the public want to comment on the consent calendar? Okay. I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
And you happen to have your consent calendar person
here. Yeah, I was just going to say, officially welcome to the club.
A block on in the committee. And great addition. Great addition.
You're going to be an asset. I know that. But
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Don't forget Jeff over here.
Yeah.
Thanks to Star. He was already on there. He was last month's sent calendar. He takes notes better. Huge check.
Okay, old business, adoption of resolution accepting the results of the Groveland Fire Protection Emergency Response Services Assessment Ballot Proceedings.
This is on your agenda, primarily, as I stated in the submittal document, to close the loop. Sometimes when you look back at records that might be 10, 20, 30 years old, where you weren't there, weren't involved in the process, you see something start and you never see the end of it. And so it's hard to recreate history. And I think it's important that that this is very clearly articulated in the district's permanent records, that we went out for the assessment, the results of the assessment. And so this, and as you'll remember at our last meeting, we weren't able to adopt a resolution to implement the assessment because the vote was not in favor. And so this basically recognizes that and documents that vote, and that's on the second page of the submittal. And this the resolution would be in the records that accepts those results. It doesn't do anything other than close the record on them.
I'll move to approve resolution 22-20-6. I'm going to read the entire thing. Accepting or memorializing the results as the fire system.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, this is Bob, seconded by Bob Turney. Any comment?
I do have one question about the assessment. And I was talking to someone who will remain unnamed yesterday about their candidacy for the board seat. And their solution, I said, what would you do to help fund the fire department? They said, well, I cut staff salaries. And I really don't think that's a good idea. You get what you pay for, the salaries. You pay a quality salary, you get quality people, which is what we have. And you start reducing that, and it's a slippery slope.
John and I have both been on the board when we were kind of following that policy, but working our way out of that policy.
Okay,
that's important.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's a path to structure.
There was a term on the end of the glide path, and I don't know what that means. I think it would be a poor glide path to start on, you know, cutting salaries. So my question is, are you going to have any kind of a candidate forum or any kind of a place where the public can look at the candidates' ideas or philosophies?
That's separate from this matter, but we're planning that.
I mean, I guess the district would facilitate that.
I would like to say that for having quality people here, there were times that if somebody called in sick when they were on the plan, they got hurt. But my dad, it's very important to have good people here. We never received the amount of grants that we get now. And actually, the grants got more than the salaries of the people. So, I mean, that's got to look at everything. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's easy for people to sit there and say, oh, just cut salaries. It's like it's easy for boards not to raise rates. But then what you end up is what we have is that stuff that's got a 30-year life, but it's on its 50th year. You know, you got to replace stuff. You got to fix district. You have to run the district right.
Right.
And I always say, you know, I'm on well and septic right. And I'm like one of the last, I think I'm the last house in the district. And I'm on well and septic, but I always say, extra drinking water. Want that nice. Want that good water. So
best water in the world.
Yep, it is. And it's because of the people that we have working. That's
very important.
It's like our fire department. We need to have
people on it.
So,
it's like you said, I don't see anybody that's on the route here at this meeting today. Last month, yeah, I didn't see the board. I came, I think, 6 months worth before I could do this. I wanted a little bit of history to gather in 6 months that I was here and quite too much. It was a mess. And that's the mess of it, but that's kind of, but we got through. And it was definitely a team process. A lot of people changed. Perspectives changed. Just understanding how the whole process works. You can't walk in, you can't sit at your house and couch potato meetings and then come in and start shooting up and running your mouth. And, you know, we got people that come in here and tell us how awful we are. And they show up on the election
They need to soften their hard hearts. Oh, you're right.
Well, and with this assessment, I mean, that's what the board did. The board put this assessment out for the public to decide whether it was successful or not, based on management's recommendation and consultant analysis of the amount of money that was needed to sustain the fire department for, you know, the next 15 years without a glitch. That was the direction of the board. That was what was prepared. That's what went out. That's what failed. And we're putting a lid on it. And now we're continuing to work on solutions to the advisory committee and back to the board as soon as we can.
You all witnessed it.
After the last attempt at raising funds for this fire department, everybody in the public said they wanted it accepted. That was our other option at that time. Chose one. And they didn't want it. They wanted an assessment. And put an assessment on the table and they don't want that. So hopefully with this committee, we didn't have that fight last time. Just had all the opposers hollering about everything that happened, and nobody had good, solid ideas. Nobody came in to talk about the options or what they wanted to see in the future. And hopefully this is going to be the answer.
I like Jeff's statement that he's positive that there will be a solution. I think we all are.
Yes.
We've all heard today that engine's tired. We don't have the money to replace it, right?
Yeah.
But it needs to be replaced. It has to be replaced. Place. Part of the Cal Fire contract. You don't want an engine going down with guys, personnel in a building burning. That's not good.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that truck cost $1 million, and then you got to put in for it four years in advance.
Yeah.
For 3 years. That you don't just get $1 million and get the truck next week.
No.
Right?
No, it takes a while to build.
Exactly right. Right.
And it takes a while to build everything on that truck as a shelf life.
Yeah.
And you have to replace all that equipment. And then we get grants. These guys get us grants. Stuff like that. But you can't live, say, okay, we're going to get a grant for the engine. We got a grant for the engine that they're using right now. But where's the grant now for that? Can't rely on that. So, yeah, that's something you guys can
basically take back to the committee.
At the meeting, we heard that engine's very tired.
Yeah. Another thing, what you guys do on your Tuesday meeting has to be approved by the board. When you come up with solutions and suggestions that you're ready to submit to the board, it's got to be ready to send back.
I think there was a little confusion about roles before the committee even met in terms of it's clear that we are an advisory committee, not a director committee. My son works in Hollywood. One of the directors said, I'm the director of the suggestion. But we are the suggestors, and you're the directors. So we understand that. But also, I want to say, the Bible says, well, there's no vision that people perish. And out of Jared Plank, which where you really have to look ahead. And I really appreciate, Jennifer, your chart where you're looking forward many, many months, different topics and things that we have to look forward to. And a lot of people, they don't look beyond saying no. I have a good friend, and I asked him about this, and said, I voted no on the assessment. And I said, well, do you have any ideas? Nope. And that's as far as a lot of people go. But we have to go farther. We have to go really look down the road and look at creative solutions. And I'm optimistic that we will find one.
The other thing is, I don't think a lot of people realize they could be paying more in insurance.
Oh, and that's
right. That's the big one. The fire department.
We never got a clear answer from the insurance folks about that. But like to get one.
I, you know, my suggestion to people is call your insurance company and ask them what happens if our fire department goes away. What's going to happen with my insurance? Am I going to be forced to the California Fair Plan, which is not a fair plan?
We already are.
Nonetheless, I have USAA.
Yeah.
I
had it. Oh, just like my insurance wants to know how close I am to the fire.
Yeah, so far.
You know what I mean?
So far. Yeah. They're not right.
They're getting a little antsy,
but they have not canceled me. I've had it. I'm very blessed to have that.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
The last action that is on this resolution is very clear direction to me that so if this resolution is approved, it directs district staff to continue evaluating alternative funding options and operational strategies to maintain the fire protection and emergency services while addressing the district's long-term financial stability. It's a big statement. It's an important action because we're not walking away from this saying, oh, well, I mean, that we were formed to provide the services. The board is giving direction that we want to continue and holding the management of the district accountable to get to solutions, go as far as we can.
The nice part about this is getting the feedback from the people who voted no. And why did you vote no? What didn't, what specifically turned you off to this? What would be a more agreeable option? Rather than no feedback, and my feedback was my no vote, and that's it. So at least we can get some. And there, some people, I've talked to a few people in many games, but they said, well, we can go back to our own fire department. You're not going back to our fire department. You'd have to hire chiefs. You'd have to hire all this. You can't afford that. Cal Fire has been a very good contract with us. And I mean, that's why we went to Cal Fire, because we live in our fire department. So they've been a very good contract with us. So,
just like my neighbor, part of their fire counters, and they're just going through town the second, so wherever, right? And they go, because they're just part time. Hey, what are you voting? So you say that everybody says no. No, I'm voting no, I'm voting no. That's they ask my opinion, yada, yada, yada. That's what they said when they walk around town. Hey, your locals, what are you going to vote on? They said no. Whatever they did. Well, we have a misinformed. Sorry. Also, oh, they're misinformed. Go ahead.
Yeah. We have a standing item on our agenda for this committee, which is feedback from folks who talk to the public. So we can digest those and talk about them, see where we can good thing.
Joy would be doing a good job. But anyway. So it was moved by Director Swan, seconded by Director Turney. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? So guys have it. Passed. All right, we're going to discussion items. First one is adoption of resolution increasing board member.
Thank you.
Hey guys.
Goodbye.
Your board things are with board of directors. Hey guys, stay safe.
Thank you.
By board of directors policy 12. Brent. You say that, Brent.
We're going to raise
three
That's up to
And reimbursement for attendance at board meetings, training, and other events. Okay.
Let me just introduce this as because this tends to be the subject of controversy assuming that the directors of the district on salary or make have a stipend that's high. And the only reason that this is even on the agenda is because it's in the policy of the district to consider it.
Annually.
And so I'm just following policy by putting this on the board's agenda. It has been the practice in the past, because it's not a significant financial impact on the district or staff, to recommend proceeding with that, whether you're here as a director or whether future directors come in, to keep that stipend consistent with the cost of living. It's $100 a meeting, inflated by a certain percent. However, my recommendation, or the recommendations in the packet, is not something that I'm completely bought in on. That's really up to you as a board, is whether you proceed with that or not. If it wasn't in our policy to look at it annually, it wouldn't be on the agenda, and I would be leaving it up to an individual board member or the board president to say, hey, we need to have the stipend on the agenda, or it may never be. Many districts never even take it up. It just stays at the $100 amount. Some districts have no stipend. I've seen some issues with that, not being able to fill board positions, but that is obviously not the case here. So anyway, that's the reason it's on the agenda.
Can we mention at this time about possibly moving this policy over into the annual budget?
The action? Mm-hmm. Rich was just saying that, we've had internal conversations about it, because we it's one of those things where we're in the middle of controversy over rate increases and misunderstandings associated with that. And any expense that comes out on the agenda tends to be very scrutinized and misunderstood in many cases. Instead of it being on a scheduled basis that's separate from the budget, this could, if we take up the policy again, consider that it could be part of the budget package and done in that way, so it doesn't sit out as a separate thing that looks like you're giving yourself a big raise.
I think that it shows up separate right now, because this policy used to be in the board policy, and now that the board policy and the district policy is one document, we could amend this policy.
So just remarks for the public. This is essentially a possibility.
Like my retirement's COLA.
Yeah.
Loss of living assessment.
It's a COLA. It's a COLA. That's what it is.
Yes.
COLA. Because of the fact that it is being administered separately from the budget, it comes up as a separate item. If it was put into the budget, it would just, we give COLA to our employees, because, I'm going to tell you, COLA is, I'm really, extremely big about COLA.
That's right.
I'm on another board subsequent to being on this one, that is essentially the board for our insurance pool.
People
are going to provide insurance to special districts. And I've had to have arguments with them about their staff. I'm talking about staff COLA, not the because, and it's like, you've got to have COLA. Inflation exists. If you expect to retain people, you got to at least keep their compensation level. Now, in our case, this is, peanuts. This isn't our compensation, but it's kind of a policy thing, I guess. It's like COLA is a thing that I believe is an important thing to need.
Right. I say everything's going up on my paycheck.
So that's where we are. Well, I would say, I'm going to just suggest that what we might do on this one is, just because this is a separate item right now is let's revisit the policy. And this shouldn't be a separate thing. It shouldn't be an item that comes up as a separate item. It should just be part of the budget.
Yeah.
And if we want to have a COLA, we'll have a COLA. If we don't want to have a COLA, each year we decide what the COLA is, and it should be the same thing for it, but what it's going to be. So I'm going to suggest that, because we have to vote it. Well, we don't have to vote on it. Don't make the motion.
Well, if I may, I kind of go along with what you're saying, Bob. I certainly didn't do this for the money. My family's been here since 97. I moved up here in 2014. I now own a home up here. And when I was presented the opportunity, I've always been really involved with the community, and when I was presented the opportunity to go ahead and take over to apply for the open directors, so it gives me an opportunity to still kind of focus on what's going on in the community, what I can do with my own input, because I feel just like everybody else out here. But there was never even a discussion. And all of a sudden, one day I got $100 check in the mail and said, oh, that's kind of nice. But considering, the state of the community and the feelings about everybody has the finances and stuff like that, I don't think it's, I think it's something we can revisit later. I don't think it's something we'll accept at this particular time. And I'm just going to throw in an extra 2 cents that I came in late. This board has been existing for a long time. I have been on municipal advisory council before. I sit on the best board of directors before. I've never been more proud of a group of people in my life. This group of people is so dedicated to this community and what's going on. And the stuff I hear out there, the people that are just throwing stuff out there, just gets in my phone. They're not basing it on facts. They're not basing it on information.
Right.
And that's why I'm even more dedicated to this more than I have been before, just from what we just went through. It's a bunch of garbage, So I just want people to think about research. Don't go by stuff that you're hearing from other people. There's groups of people out there who say that stuff. Lots of people say that stuff. But when this came up today, it just kind of said, that's my two cents. And going along with what Dan said, Dana said, where are the other candidates? They're not on watch.
And how many people are listening right now? How many people are listening where you can be listening and watching? How many people are on there? Did they tell you right there?
None. That's an AFA. That's our staff member.
Hello. You always see them watching and listening. So this group of people is dedicated. We're dedicated. We're here every month. We're following along. We're just focusing on what we can do the best for the community.
And everybody knows that. Everybody knows, like, next door. Now everybody's on there like this. And it's easy to sit at your house and do that. Why don't you come down here and be involved? Being a naysayer.
What you were saying, right? When you're talking around people, they say, what are you going to vote? You're going to vote no? I'm going to vote no, too. You're going to vote no? I'm going to vote no, too. No research done. Just basing on what you're saying. And it's involving their own money. No, I'm not disagreeing. When you're talking about my money getting jumped up, I want facts. I want to go to the source. I want to know why. I don't trust the people out there and all this stuff going on.
It's like my old clients, they'd ask me, because I'm local now, part-time, hey, who are you going to vote for on the board of PML? I know this guy or that guy, or I'm not really sure or something. They'd ask me, who are you voting for? Because they don't know these people, I go, I know this guy, John or whatever, he's pretty good. He's been on the board, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd ask me all the time because they didn't know.
Well, they keep talking about how the board is doing this. I've seen a number of times board doing this, going out of pockets. We're not getting bucks a week. We ain't lining no pockets. We're doing this because we're dedicated to the community and what we're going to do for you. That's it. I wouldn't change a single person on this board. Not one person.
No, it's good. It's been helpful, too, bro. I was just going to add this in here, but it's been helpful here, just in this meeting, being here and seeing how this stuff goes.
I appreciate you being here.
I'm getting a lot out of it. I appreciate all your time, too, seriously. I'm just, me and Jeff, we're here on our own, but I appreciate all of your time now.
Well, we're okay. Yeah. You can be here. There's no reason why anybody else can't be here.
That's right.
You're a good model, bud.
Especially.
Appreciate you.
While I'm thinking about it, if we come, your meetings are public meetings, they're on that day.
Yes, yeah.
How do you think it would be taken if say I showed up, I'm not going to say anything, just to come and just observe. Is that going to seem like I'm spying on you, or is it
going to... Well, hey, no, I'm going to tell you right now, for real, they know this. There's two people here, and they're real not nice people, right? And this guy's been in the forestry for a long time. Everybody knew him. I didn't know him, but whatever. And I'm like, hey, I thought this was like a private type thing, and they're the public. And now, you know, I had to fill out a little form and not apply for this position or whatever, right? And they didn't.
Well, you're
not like, there like a nice spies.
They're just visiting. They're just observing.
Yeah, they're observing. But they did comment and everything, too, you know what I mean? But I was like, sure. I don't know, I was just asking questions now. And this nice young lady had to clarify it. And I said, hey, are we live right now or what? You know what I mean? I thought it was like a little private, you know, advisory committee type thing.
Welcome to the Bromhead.
You know, it's supposed to be kind of kept in this room, kind of. And then there's these other high spies over here, and I kind of got freaked out. But anyway, I got schooled on, so now I know. Right now, we're live right now. Hey, everybody, we're live. Right? Right? Oh, no, is anybody out
there? Yes.
Well, Bob, you wouldn't kick me out if you came. In fact, I'd appreciate it, because then you can see firsthand the composition and the sort of the organizational climate.
So cool.
First Tuesday.
Second Tuesday before the meeting. No, and the one lady was she was working in the bay, and that the first one, she was on that Zoom and it was freaking out. Okay, she told me that too. Because all of a sudden she'd be like, "Hey, my comments are what's going on here?" Sometimes it's freaking out. Okay, out. She's freaking out in that. You know, and it's kind of, it wasn't rude, but it was like. Oh, that's right. There she is. Oh, where are you at in there? Hi, how are you? You know what I mean? And she was here yesterday live, so it's all good.
That's chronic. That's pandemic. Sure. Yeah. So I've been on the board for a while, and I never cared about the money. For years, we never even had a raise or anything, which that's fine with me. So I'm good. Everybody, I'd like.
I'm going to suggest you just let this die, perhaps. And so,
yes. Yeah. Motion. So perfect. Let it go and be done with it. None of us moved to the money.
That's for sure.
There were times that I would hear somebody's voice in the store and I'd hide. So I mean, but I'll tell you, I am so proud of this board. This board, I've been on the board for, but it's been 14.
15.
Going on my 16th year eventually. I'll tell you, this board, we've got, and this, the people that work here, that they have their career here. And that, a lot of people don't understand this is the career. This isn't McDonald's, you know. This is a career.
And I'm so proud of these people.
I'm proud to be on this board. I've had people come up to me
that used to be in that audience saying, "You guys are idiots."
Wow, you guys are
good job.
How long have you been employed by the district?
Over 15 and a half years. So it'll be 16 in February.
Okay. Yeah.
Ever since you got out of high school.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know any of you guys. Probably about that after high school or something.
Now.
It was glad to see you haven't changed a bit, right?
So Jennifer and I have been working together a long time. I think I was here maybe a month
before I was, yeah.
So okay. Yeah, we've been together a long time. We've seen a lot of bad stuff. Yeah, right. And now it's really I mean, this, I'm so proud of this district. Okay, moving on. That did not get a response.
So this is going to be part of the budget.
Eventually.
We need to move.
We're going to change the policy.
So we have to get a policy.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But it should be. It's a sensible thing. It's just
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
So, well, let's start the end.
So moving on, point 6B, adoption of a resolution of supporting the Association of California Water Agencies' vision for our water future.
This has been a multi-year collaborative effort on the part of water agencies and state association for this focused specifically on water agencies in developing a vision statement and primarily geared toward educating the new administration, because there will be a new governor, to help them understand the needs and interests and concerns with water being an extremely important matter. So the California Association Water Agency, I'm sorry, Aqua Association of California Water Agencies vision is presented for your support. And it was supported by the Tuolumne Utilities District Board of Directors locally, as well as the County Natural Resources Committee. It will be going to the Board of Supervisors soon. There's no exact timeline on this, but the more support going into a new administration, the more power we will have. And we obviously rely on water supply. And this is an important step. It's a very unified effort that they've put forth.
Just for a little further illustration, the current water management system in state government is right.
Yep,
that's a reasonable statement. So this is Aqua is one of those agencies that sort of, you know, it's an association that is trying to encourage streamlining and modernizing, making things be a little more sensible, which, you know, I think we can all appreciate it would be a good idea, because right now it's a very strange arrangement if you look at the water managed through the state government.
Like, I think Mark Twain
said, whiskey's for drinking, water's for bedding over.
Precisely. In California, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
I think this is a, you know, I mean, in a sense, it's advertising, but it's trying to get the legislature and potentially the administration, whatever that turns out to be, to pay some attention to it in a coherent way. So I'm going to move to adopt resolution. Excuse me, 27-26, supporting the
Green Bay Association of California Water
Agencies. Here, I'll second that. It moved by Director Swan. It's actually pretty nice. Seconded by Director Ernie. The comments? I would like to make a comment. I think a lot of, especially when we get to the water agencies down in the valley, they don't realize where their water is. You get a big forest fire, that affects the water. It's all safe. And they don't understand that this forest up here is the watershed. And it's really important to keep that up. And we let it go for years and years. I heard no one if forests were a lot better than they are now. I spent a lot of time out in the forest, riding my horse, hiking, 5 to 9. Our dogs, and I can take you to places you can't even see through the forest. There's all the garbage, all the, you know, after the trees, underbrush, the whole nine yards, waiting to burn. And then when it gets sterilized, like a film fire, that just really affects the water. I hope
this educates
the legislature and ones that. Oh, they just see it coming down
the river. They don't understand where it actually comes.
It comes from up here. Okay, so it's been moved, seconded. Any other comments from the board? All in favor?
Bumper.
He asked.
I asked. I just calmed down.
And then he went back in a circle.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
It passes. I'll
Okay.
Aye. Okay. Water line project. APN 066-060-022-000.
Anybody want to say that five times for the pass?
Adam can do it. Let's reintroduce Adam Allsweed. Adam is doing a fantastic job at managing the district assets, and obviously easements are a big part of that, existing, making sure we have the rights to access our utilities and to protect that right. And in this case, he's worked this whole thing through, so I'll let you jump in. And thanks for attending our entire meeting. The entire second half of it. Last on the agenda.
Yeah, this one's pretty simple. Basically, we have the new water line that was replaced from Deer Flat down to Big Oak Flat. And in that alignment, I think most people are probably aware of that old historic barn in that open stretch between Green and Upper Oak Flat. The old pipeline was between the highway and the front side of that barn. And we were scheduled to go through there and do the replacement, but it was going to require a lot of extra for a contractor to go through there. And it really wasn't most ideal for us as a contingency for later maintenance. As you can imagine, our fuels, you know, the line blew out. Now we're trying to deal with traffic control and all that stuff. So to make a long story short, the contractor desired to go behind the barn, drop down that ravine through there, and then come back at the time again. And so I reached out to the property owners. They were good with that. We made a very fair trade while the contractor was going through there. We did a step out for future development for that property. It's a commercial property. And that was the trade for them giving us the new easement through there. So part of that process was we got a temporary easement. And in that temporary easement agreement, we agreed that when the project was completed, we would come back through and memorialize it. So that's all this is just making it a permanent easement, but we'll give you a point of view.
It's a step out.
A step out is basically that if you're familiar with what a T is, in pipelines.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like in your little schedule 40, you know, for irrigation, we put T in occasionally so you can run a line out, you know, from that backing line. That's what this is. They put a T in with a valve so that it can be open and closed, and then what's called a blind flange that can be unbolted and removed later so that you could put a meter in and continue on.
I was going to ask one, when are you guys going to pay for that so I can go from the park all the way?
That'd be pretty fun, huh?
Well, they said it's going to be a trail or something.
So that's it. Actually, looked different. The trail is behind that on the old railroad. So this was running with the highway.
Right.
They're kind of close-ish in proximity, but it's not the same. So our easements for our infrastructure are a little different than what would be considered by the right-of-way or road easement for public trail. So fortunately, we can't permit private open travel across our business.
Right.
Technically, while we own the system, we don't own the property.
We can't root for the table. The whole point of that to be there is not to have some unpopular.
Yeah.
So this was, I'm going to say, 100% Adam and you know, vision about the accessibility and constructability and everything else. These things were happening on the fly while we've got, you know, two different contractors in two different parts of town, doing different things. And so definitely appreciate Adam for keeping this going and putting this all together. It was funded through our partnership with the county through the CDBG grant. So a new water line to better service the Big Oak Lot and the area in between. And so this is just
tie-in.
Water line. All the time, somebody
That was one project. This is another.
Yeah, and then we tied them together.
Yeah, we have more of these coming up. We hope a couple related to the projects, but. Again, this is the board policy is that acceptance of any easements is done by board action by resolution.
I will move to adopt resolution 28-2026, a resolution of the board of directors of the services district approving and authorizing acceptance of a deed of easement for the Big Oak Flat Water Line Project, EPA 066-060-022-000.
Did you still have more to add?
I was going to add one little piece just because it is part of the district policy. That is lumped in with this is also the abandonment of the section of easement that the old pipe was in, the infrastructure. It's like, just want to make sure that was clear. You're not only adopting the new easement, but we're also abandoning the sections of any
infrastructures.
Sorry.
Okay.
Make sure you had all the
information. Yeah. Get a second.
All right.
It's been moved by Swan.
Let's move on. This is your last chance to win. That's all right. Okay, any comments from the board? All right, good job.
Thank you.
And this was another grant that brought this pipeline in, which provides a lot better fire protection for Big Oak Flat.
And we'll scar if they ever call it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Hey, all in favor? All right, aye. All opposed? So it's passed 4-0. With that,
thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. We'll call for the adjournment. We are done today. Very likely somebody.